Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Peter Bart.
And this is Mike Fleming.
And this is the Bart Fleming Podcast. So, Mike, of course, this is that time of year where distributors like to unveil their big surprises, the magic movies they've been hiding that will now steal the awards and win over the ticket buyers amid a blaze of good publicity. It's certainly happened in the past with some big productions like Chicago and some unexpected little films like Moonlight or Birdman that appear seemingly out of nowhere and suddenly win all the Oscars and the Globes. You know, I know it's considered inappropriate to mention the name of Harvey Weinstein, but he was, of course, the master of two skills. At this time of year, he could always come up with a last-minute surprise, like the Shakespeare in Love, that would steal everyone's attention, and could sort of deftly plant rumors about a competing movie that might somehow suggest that it's not quite as legitimate in some way, or that a star committed some insidious act that we're just now learning about. So he was the master of gamesmanship. But do you see any pictures coming down now that you think are going to seal the show?
There are a couple that are, you know, that are still presenting themselves to the consciousness. Vice certainly is probably the last and final serious contender to announce itself. Most of the other films, did that during the fall festivals. So that'll be one to watch. But I could see Green Book come kind of out of nowhere. I mean, you know, you mentioned Harvey Weinstein. You know, in terms of the dissing of other films, now he always denied to me that he did that, and he never did it with me, so I can't say for certain whether he did or not. But what he did do was he would have like three movies in award season, and he would see what the reaction was to each of them, and then basically he put all his chips on the table for one of them. And it's interesting. I kind of felt like maybe Universal did that a little bit with Green Book. It looked like their big Oscar movie was going to be First Man. And then suddenly they had to make room because the reaction to Green Book was so strong. So I would say those are two that I would keep an eye on in terms of newcomers.
I'm also interested in Fox Searchlight is pushing its movie called The Favorite. And after all, this is the year of Me Too. And The Favorite involves two scheming women who wield their political and sexual skills to win the favor of a quirky queen, in this case, Queen Anne of 18th century England. And thus they can rule their kingdom. Now, The Hollywood Reporter said this was delectably witty. And witty it is, as well as brutally bitchy. It may not only be Me Too time, but also Me Too Much. So, but that's The Favorite is something to watch. Another picture, you know, you like Adam McKay a lot, gave us The Big Short. Yeah. I think Vice is an interesting dark horse, don't you? We have Christian Bale, of always sleek looking, portraying the chubby and scheming Dick Cheney. McKay's a clever guy. Do you think that's a dark horse possibility?
Yeah, I think it's probably... it probably is too major a film to really be considered a dark horse. I mean, the thing that's attractive about Green Book is, you know, it was made for about $23 million. It's a $23 million road film that I'm not sure the studio really realized how what they had until all the pieces fell into place. Vice, on the other hand, was Adam McKay's follow-up to The Big Short. And when Christian Bale throws himself into a role like that, you know, as in Dick Cheney, and then you have what Amy Adams is Lynn Cheney, and you have Sam Rockwell, who just won the Oscar last year for George W. I mean, that is, you know, that is a movie that is expected to do that kind of that, you know, to make that kind of an impact in award season, particularly at its generous budget. So, you know, but yes, I do believe that that will probably be in the mix. And then you have the other ones that announced themselves earlier. I think Black Panther deserves consideration. You certainly couldn't call that a sleeper, not at a $200 million plus budget, but no one expects a superhero film to buy for Best Picture. And Michael B. Jordan's is wonderful in that movie. And it's interesting because he, you know, so he turns in that performance as Killmonger, which in my view is about as good as a villain performance as I've seen since Heath Ledger in Christopher Nolan's Batman, Dark Knight films. And now he has Creed 2, and he's getting great reviews for that. So here he has a momentum builder that comes along at a fortuitous time. And hopefully voters will be reminded of his good work. Now, where that isn't the case is, you know, I thought Claire Foy was very good in First Man, and she came out in the latest Girl in the Spider Web, and, you know, playing Lisbeth Salander. And that movie isn't doing much business at all. And it's directed by Fede Alvarez, who's coming off a humongous genre hit in Don't Breathe. And so you would imagine that this perhaps could have bolstered, you know, the attention on her. But that movie kind of came and went, which goes to show you it was what I guess it's sort of like a tribute to Bill Goldman that, you know, and who just passed away and that nobody knows anything.
Possibly. But, you know, the attention on the last minute potential Oscar and Globe surprises always reminds me that there's so many films at this time of year that we forget about, that we saw earlier in the year and aren't contenders for anything. But to me, for example, the picture that was the most fun was Crazy Rich Asians. And in some ways, the picture that was most unique, a sort of a surprise, was A Quiet Place. Both of those pictures are not up for anything, but by God, they're interesting movies. And then, of course, amidst all the talk about Globe and Oscar favorites, there's a tendency to forget the big pictures of the year, the parade of sequels that galvanized all the money and kept the studios afloat. Beside Panther, I mean, Avengers, Infinity War, Incredibles 2, Jurassic, the Deadpool sequel, and of course the Mission Impossible sequel. I mean, the studios are still alive and are able to pay for their Oscar campaigns because of the success of these pictures, the sequels, which amazingly by this time of year, most of us put out of our minds.
Those are the ones that, of course, pay for everything. And as it turns out, movies are going to have had an exceptionally good year when all that money is, when all that revenue is counted. But the one perhaps Oscar movie, and I'm saying it just based on his pedigree, that I'm not sure about yet is, are you hearing any buzz on The Mule, the Clint Eastwood directed film that stars him and Bradley Cooper, who will certainly be, a dominant voice in awards season for A Star Is Born. Have you heard much on The Mule?
No, and they're not screening it much. And Clint likes to do this, doesn't he? He likes to come out at the last minute with a picture that, and he himself doesn't do much promotion anymore. But I suspect we'll hear a lot of it, and it might be a real surprise. Have not seen it yet, nor have gotten a screener. And, of course, this is the year the screeners are arriving rather late. You know, the Academy revised the screener process, so it's all coordinated from one address. And I notice, I don't know about you, Mike, but I get screeners from the guilds and the Academy, and the most interesting movies, they're not arriving as yet. Are they with you?
Well, no, I'm not a voter like you are. So, you know, I rely on the the generosity of studios that want me to be aware of what they've seen, because it's so hard for me to make it to New York for these advanced screenings.
With me, though, I find, though, that such, again, it's an old-fashioned thing to say, but it's such a different experience when you do go to a theater or to a, go to a screening and see it with an audience and get that, share that response. And sitting at home watching screeners, it's all fine, but there is a tendency to nod off. There's a tendency to hear a laugh line and think to yourself, are people going to laugh at this? I think it's pretty funny, but no one else in this room is laughing, because there's no one else in the room. So I love the screeners. They're a great help in just keeping abreast with things. But there is nothing quite like the experience of going into a theater full of people who have real anticipation about a sense of discovery of a movie.
I mean, this is the way the world is changing. We are going towards more and more films are going to be digested, at home, but we'll see where that goes. But I think if I always had my preference, it would be to see a movie on a big screen for sure.
But in that context, the big change of the last decade, perhaps, is that audiences now, they want to see movies, they want to see product when they're ready to see it. They don't want to be told that on such and such a movie is happening on a weekend and you got to show up for it. I mean, it worked for Avengers and Black Panther, but most young people today, they want to see a movie when by God they're up and ready for it. And that's revolutionized the business, hasn't it?
Well, it has, but at the same time, I mean, you're only going to be able to see Bruce Springsteen when he comes to town. Now, of course, he's been camping out on Broadway. But ordinarily, if you want to see an event like that, you know, you're gonna show up when he shows up. And so I think people, and I think that it's still much the same with a must-see movie. I think it's always going to be that way. There's excitement about leaving and anticipation about seeing a movie that you really badly want to see. And the only shame is that I think younger people, and I can say my kids are in that boat as well, they don't have those same great memories of where they were when they saw a certain film like I do, which I think is a shame. But they also don't have any memories of combing through the record stores like I did as a kid, you know, and just you could spend an hour in a record store. And now those sort of traditions do fade.
They do. But the way expectations are achieved, though, is changed so much too. I mean, it is no longer individual critics that tend to rule the discussion. It's tomatoes, Rotten Tomatoes, ratings, and so forth. And once again, I find that some of the pictures that you and I like the most, like Green Book, many of the important critics disdained that picture. They said it was too obvious, that it was too entertaining. It all, those criticisms amuse me because, sure, it's about the racial tensions in the South in 1961. It's a road movie, but that doesn't mean that we should put it down because it also has some laughs and some emotions in it. So once again, I find myself at odds with the critics on many of these movies.
Well, I think with that movie, it's an important reminder of the way things were. And that to me was the most poignant thing about Black Klansman, which is another movie which is getting some mention out there. I mean, you know, you basically were reminded of how it was when the Jim Crow laws existed in the Deep South. And those people were cruel and heartless and horrible. And it's important for us to remember that when we see things like Charlottesville and you see these people straining for legitimacy, trying desperately to bring back a way of life that most of us are so happy is way in the rearview mirror, but it's not that far in the rearview mirror. And so I don't know. I was very touched by Green Book. I thought it was directed with subtlety, and the story was told with humor, and Grace by Pete Farrelly. I got to say, I was pretty knocked out by that film. And I love the performances by Mahershala Ali and Viggo Mortensen.
And I agree with you on that. Okay, Mike, so I'll see you next week.
What's the deal? Happy holiday.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.